And from the 22nd chapter of Revelation, the last chapter in the Bible. Matthew chapter 11. A scripture that is well known, 28th verse. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let me just share a word on that last part for everyone to, since I'm not going to be preaching along that lines. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you will yoke up with Jesus, you'll find it's the best life in the world. The hardest life in the world is to go against the Lord. Even as the Lord said to Saul on the road to Damascus, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard to go against God. The hardest life in the world is to live for the devil. God, you've been good to us. Thank you for salvation. I'm going to read from one verse from the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Verse number 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Let me read that again. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Throughout the history of mankind, from the days that Adam was in the Garden of Eden and he fell, until this morning, God has been calling men, women, and young people unto Himself. God's been calling out of sin unto salvation. He's calling out of darkness into the light. He's calling out of the world into righteousness. Listen closely, if you will. One of these days, He's going to call us out of here. Amen. If you love Him and serve Him and live for Him, He's going to call the righteous out. Amen. And it might happen today. Amen. I read from the New Testament. They told me a long time ago, I didn't go to Bible school, but they told me a long time ago, anyone that has to preach all over the Bible is a novice. Call me a novice. I'm going to begin with Genesis.
Amen.
I read from the New Testament. I'm going to begin with the Genesis. And I would like to begin with the story of the creation. We find in the first three chapters of the book of Genesis that God is working in creation. And on the sixth day, He completed all of creation. And finally, He made, in the final act of creation, He makes man in His own image. Made man from the dust of the earth in His own image. And the Bible lets us know they placed Him in the beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. And then He did something wonderful. He gave unto Adam the dominion over all the living, over the fish and the animals and the birds. And then He made a helpmeet for Adam, a wife, to be at his side.
Yes.
Think about it, if they were ever enjoyed a happy marriage. They had a beautiful home. They had dominion over all of God's creation, the living of God's creation. Not only that, but they had a wonderful fellowship with the Almighty God. That was the most of all. Fellowshipping with God, with their Maker. Everything was perfect. Nothing to hinder them from living happily ever after when you were in school, if you can remember when you were in school way back yonder in the first of whatever grade it was. And you read a story and they lived happily ever after. It was Hansel or Gretel or whoever the other. And they lived happily ever after. And Jack and the Beanstalk. I don't know whether that one ended that way or not. I haven't read it in a long time. And they lived happily ever after. Did you know that Adam and Eve could have lived happily ever after?
Yes.
Had everything.
Right.
Everything was beautiful. No doubt you know the story. With so much to enjoy and so much that God had provided for them for fulfillment and for satisfaction in the law. So much to live for. And yet the Bible says that they were tempted by Satan and they sinned.
Yeah.
Mark this down. And when they sinned, that fellowship, that relationship they had with God was now broken. Sin separated them from God. I want to just pause just a moment. This morning. Sin separated from God 6,000 years ago. Sin separated from God 4,000 years ago. Sin separated from God 2,000 years ago. Sin separated from God yesterday. And sin separates from God today. Sin will separate you from God.
right.
Somebody said, well, Brother Jones, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I've been saved a long time. Sin will separate you from God.
Yeah,
right. The Bible says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you fail, if you sin, if you fall, run to Jesus.
Yeah.
He's the answer, amen, because sin separates. And that evening, after they had sinned, the Bible lets us to know that in the cool of the day, God came to the garden to visit with Adam and Eve. Then the third chapter and the ninth verse, it says these words, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? This is the thought. God called Adam.
Yeah.
I want to preach today about the call of God.
Amen.
God called Adam. I hope you'll understand what I'm saying now, but Adam was not anxious to see God. When I was a boy and I misbehaved and did something that I shouldn't do, and my daddy told us boys not to do a certain thing and we did it anyhow, I was not happy to see daddy. I was not happy for him to come around, because if daddy promised you something, he'd give it to you. And if he promised that we were going to have discipline because we had misbehaved, we never got out of it. He was there. But listen, God came to visit Adam in the cool of the day. And Adam was ashamed, and the Bible says, so he ran. He went into the garden and tried to hide himself behind the trees thereof. And the Bible says, in a moment of time, what had been a wonderful relationship with God was now broken. It was no longer there, because Adam is sinned. He's separated from God. He's hiding himself from God, and that relationship is destroyed. What a terrible picture, because sin separates, but God called out in mercy. Let me leave this with you this morning. When God gave them everything they wanted, everything, he made one stipulation, one rule, one commandment, one thou shalt not. Some people have the idea that God doesn't have any more thou shalt not. I want you to know he still does. He said, Adam and Eve, all of us, enjoy it. Have a wonderful life. Live forever enjoying a wonderful life. But there's one stipulation, Adam. There's one tree in the midst of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're not to eat of that. Because if you eat of that tree, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, I want to make something clear. Adam lived over 900 years, but the day that he ate of that, he died spiritually. When a man is separated from God, he's dead spiritually. He has no life spiritually. Do you understand that? Everyone out there today that is unsaved is dead spiritually. That's why Jesus came to restore life, to bring them back to the Father. And now God is calling Adam, and Adam is hiding behind the tree somewhere, trying to cover his nakedness. Had to sew fig leaves together, him and Eve, to try to cover their nakedness because of sin. And now they understand that they've shamed themselves, and they're hiding. Uh-huh. But listen, God called Adam, the Bible says, but I want you to understand this. He didn't call him to condemn him. He didn't call to ridicule him. He didn't call to put him down. He called him to forgive him.
Amen.
He called him to restore him to the fellowship that they had yesterday.
Hallelujah.
Did you know that's exactly what God is doing today? Still calling men and women. They might be a fellowship once again with the Almighty God.
Yes.
Because our sinful world is separated from God. We were seeing the course, and then I read as well, how that there's going to be a day when the dead in Christ shall rise. Keep this in mind. The dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But then there's going to be a resurrection for the ungodly. And they're going to rise from the dead. And they're going to be called in the great white throne judgment. Then they'll end up in the eternal lake of fire. Listen carefully. There's only two acts. One is with God and one is without God.
Right.
Keep it in mind.
Right.
Adam, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? God went searching for Adam. Aren't you glad God came searching for you?
Yes.
Amen, amen. God called Adam. I went a little further in the Bible. I came to the sixth chapter of Genesis. I found that 1,700 years has passed from Adam until this time. And the brother than man serving God and obeying God, he's got worse and worse and worse. And now evil and violence is everywhere in the world. And sin is on the rampage. And God said, I'm going to destroy man that I've made. I'm going to bring judgment upon the people that I have made.
That's right.
Listen to this. Before God sent judgment, the Bible says God called Noah, a righteous man. I want you to build an ark, and I want you to preach, and I want you to warn the people that judgment is coming. Warn the people that when the time comes, they can come into the ark and be saved, and they'll not perish with all the others. Listen, if you stay close with me right now, stay with me. When God said that you know Noah build the ark and warn the people, he said, the same thing to me. Judgment's coming. Warn the people. There's a safety in the arms of the Lord. And outside the arms of the Lord, there's only destruction and torment. Tell the people. And God saves. Adam. Now Noah. He caused Noah to build the ark. And Noah being a righteous man. Obeyed the Lord. He began to build and he began to warn the people, judgment's coming. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 100 years. Building, warning the people. There came the time when God said to Noah, it's time to come on in. Listen to this. Everyone out there, come on in. Noah's been preaching. Come on in. And when God shut the door, only Noah and his family were inside. 8 people, 8, out of the population of the earth. And mankind had been on the earth 1,700 years. There were millions of people on this earth. And when the flood came, some people said, Brother Jones, I don't believe it was worldwide. The Bible says it was.
Amen.
All the population of the earth was wiped out, except 8 people. Because 8 people believed God. They believed the warning. They heeded the warning. They came in, and when God shut the door, the rest were left on the outside, lost, perished forever. What a shame. What a shame. I went on. I went to the 12th chapter of Genesis. I came to another call. God called Abraham, as we studied in Sunday school. Called him out of Mesopotamia. Said, follow me, Abraham. And I'll bless you. It made a fivefold blessing. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great and I'll bless the nations that bless you and what have you. I'll make you a father of many nations.
Yes.
And Abraham obeyed God. God called him and Abraham stepped out. He left his family. He left his home. He left the friends that he's had that he grew up with. And he walked away from all of that and followed God. The Bible said he went out not knowing where he was going.
That's right.
That's faith. He stepped out not knowing where he's going and not even knowing what he's going to find when he got there.
Right.
But he obeyed God.
That's right.
You want the blessings of God? Follow him.
Amen.
Obey him. You say, but Brother Joseph, if you just give me a little bit more information, if he just says follow him, he's already promised to be with you.
Right.
He doesn't have to tell us what's going to be out there tomorrow. He'll be there.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
that's enough to shout about.
Amen.
Thank God. Abraham obeyed the Lord. God said, I will bless you, and I'll bless the nations of the world because of you. And I'm going to share this with you today. God has been faithful to his word.
That's right. Yes, he has.
In fact, he never fails. God said, I'll bless the peoples of the world because of you and your seed. And the seed of Abraham is the nation of Israel, the Jew. And I want you to know today, that Bible that you've got in your hand or wherever it is, that's come to us through the seed of Abraham. That's a blessing. Do you know the man that this is all about, his name is Jesus, has come to us through the seed of Abraham. Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one of Israel, the Christ of glory, has come to us through the blessings of the seed of Abraham.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
God has provided for the nation of Israel. God has watched over them. God has protected them. I know that they have suffered. And right today, they almost seemingly as if they are standing alone. I know America has been one of the greatest friends that Israel has ever had. I thank God for America. I want you to know today that the evangelical Christians in America are the strongest supporters of the Jewish family as anyone in the world.
Yes.
Our nation is in a perilous place. Our leadership. We've come to the place where Israel, seemingly, even now, cannot feel like we're behind them. If somehow they have to strike Iran because of the nuclear warhead or what have you. Our president, and essentially, I'm not here as a political figure at all. He has left the impression with the prime minister of Israel that he does not know, the prime minister of Israel does not know, whether if something happens that America will be behind them.
That's right.
Let me leave this with you. Benjamin Netanyahu has said, if no one goes with us, we're going to stand up.
That's right.
And he has read the Bible. Listen to him when he talks. He quotes the Old Testament. He's a Jew. He quotes the Old Testament. He knows that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has promised to be with them. How that God has taken care of them in their independence in the 1947 and 48, in the Six-Day War in 1967, in the Yom Kippur War in 1970. God's been with them, and they know that God's going to still be with them. And if America does not stand with Israel, God will. What did he say, preacher? Abraham was called by God to step out, and God said, I'll bless you abundantly. He said, obey me. Let me leave this with you today. God's promised the same thing to every one of us. If you'll obey God when he calls you, he'll bless you abundantly. He'll bless you abundantly. Things that you didn't even realize. Things that you didn't even have in your mind. How that things would work out. How God would take care. How God would meet needs in your life. Sometimes I think we fret over small things when God wants us to know He owns it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to give one more testimony and then I'll come back to the sermon when God calls. I mentioned it before. God called us to the ministry. Told us where to go. We went. I had no job. Got out of the Air Force. I know this is old hat for many of you, but some haven't heard it, so please bear with me. We went to a certain town that God told us to go to. We're going to start a new church. Didn't have any members, only knew two people in the town. We rented a building. We're going to start church and had no job. I was out of the service now. Had no income. I went to the bank. They were advertising for assistant manager or for something, and I went. They liked my qualification, but when I told them I was a preacher, they said, we cannot hire you, we cannot spend the money to train you, and then your church put you full time, and then we're out. I went to a loan association, a loan company, the same story. I was searching for a job, and I've told you this before, and I'll be very brief. We went to the kitchen, we lived in a house trailer. We took our bills and laid them on the kitchen table, my wife and I. It was 1959. We had one child. Mike was 2 years old. We laid our bills on the table. The payment for that house trailer was $94 and something every month. I had a 1958 Chevy.
Come on,
yeah. And the payment was $77 and something. I had no job. Called to preach. Obey God. Remember where God told us to go. We laid them on the table and prayed. And said, God, you sent us here. We believe you're going to take care. You believe this today, God will take care.
Yes, will.
If you do everything you can in the will of God, God will take care.
Obey God.
Amen, amen. I went to the base, and I found that there was an opening at the provost marshal's office, and I went to the provost marshal's office, and I passed the test. I was going to be a clerk in the provost marshal's office as a GS-3. He told me to go get an exam, physical exam, and come to work. On my way to the hospital to get a physical exam, I ran into the Assemblies of God preacher. His name was Jones. He had one son. Just started the Assemblies of God church. Brand new in town. Just got out of the Navy. Had been to Bible school. Got out of the Navy, went to Bible school, and came to start a new church. He had gone to work in the post office, and I had already met him before. He said, Brother Graham, he said, if you got a job yet? I said, I'm on my way to get a physical right now to be a clerk at the provost marshal's office. He said, there's an opening in the post office. Why don't you go there first? So I did. I went to the post office. Didn't go to the hospital. Went to the post office.
Talked to the assistant postmaster. He said, come to work, whatever it was, Monday or whenever the next time was. I didn't even get a physical. Started with a GS-4. GS-3 over there at the post office. God gave me a raise before I got a job.
That's God. Amen.
He's big.
Yes, He is.
And I told you this before, and I'll tell you it again. We have never missed a payment because of the lack of funds from 1959 when we started the church until this morning. Haven't had to go get another credit card. Haven't had to increase like this debit, this whatever that is in the government. Increase how much we can borrow. Haven't had to do any of that because God's a big God.
Yes.
And what God said to Abraham, what God said to Abraham has been true to His word. What God said to my wife and I, He's been true to His word.
Yes.
What God has promised you, He'll be true to His word.
Yes,
I want you to know I've mentioned Adam, I've mentioned Noah, I've mentioned Abraham. How that God called them. But listen, if you will, that was way back on the 1900 years after the mankind began when God called Abraham. That's a little over 4,000 years ago. And God has kept on calling.
Yes. Amen.
I came to the New Testament. I found that one day He called Peter, James, and John and the others to discipleship. That was one of the most important calls that God has ever made. Let me share the reason that I said that. Because it was upon the ministry of the apostles that the church was going to be established. I know Jesus Christ is the founder of the cornerstone. And the church is built upon the Lord Jesus. But the disciples were left here. The apostles were left here with the anointing of Almighty God to establish the church. That's why we have the apostles doctrine. That's why we read the Bible. The church is established on the word of God.
Yes.
Amen. So He called Peter and James and John. As you go through history, He called Paul, named Saul on the Damascus Road. He was a religious zealot. He was very religious, but he was lost.
Yes.
And the world is full of them.
Yes.
The world is full of religious people today, but they're lost because they don't know Jesus.
That's right.
Without Christ, there is no salvation. And I thought how that God has called and called. He called over the years, He called Saul, and listen to this, when He saved him, and He sanctified him, and He filled him with the Holy Ghost, and called him to preach. Saul became, no doubt, the greatest evangelist the world has ever known. He became probably the greatest pioneer church builder that man has ever known.
Yes.
He became the overseer of all the churches of Asia Minor. All the churches that have been established. He was the overseer. Had the burden over all of them, to pray and to direct them seeking God. God called him.
Yes.
God has called and called and called. And I'm going to run down just the list of a few this morning as you stay with me. As you go through the Bible, I mentioned the disciples. And I want to go back to the Old Testament one more time. I want to go back to what God has done over the years and even in the Old Testament. I'm going to mention six in the next few minutes of time. When the children of Israel cried out to God, they were in Egyptian bondage and they were suffering. They cried out to God for deliverance from that bondage. Not only did God hear, but God called Moses. God called Moses to lead them out of Egypt into victory. Hallelujah. That is one of the greatest stories in all of the Bible. If you haven't read it, if you don't know it, get it in your mind. That's one of the greatest stories in all of Scripture. How that God called Moses and sent him to deliver some 2 to 3 million people out of Egyptian bondage, and He led them across the wilderness towards the promised land. Listen closely today. God called Moses. It was the call of God. Thank God that He calls. I preached to you on the Sunday about how when the Midianites were harassing the children of Israel, and the children of Israel were farmers, and they'd gotten the crops in, and they had stored them in the storehouses and the silos or whatever, and the Midianites would come and steal it from them after they had reaped the harvest, and they were harassing the people of God, and God called Gideon. Then God gave them directions with 300 men. Gideon went out to fight against the Midianites. And if you had been there and counted them, there was 135,000 over there and 300 over here. Outnumbered 450 to 1. But I'm going to leave this with you today. If that one is with God, they're a majority.
The whole world can be against you, but if God is for you, brother, you're on the winning side.
That's right.
You can't lose if you stay with God.
That's right.
God called Gideon, and Gideon led them to victory and brought peace back to the land because he answered the call. God called Moses, God called Gideon. When Saul, the first king of Israel, disobeyed God, went into sin, the Bible lets me to know that God called David. He failed in his leadership, and God called David not only to lead them to victory over the enemy, but to lead them back to the ways of God. Saul had gotten away from God. God was anointing him and blessing him and used him as the king, but he lost out with God. He got himself lifted up. He lifted up himself, his own self-righteousness, and God separated himself and called David to follow him. I thought at a time when the priesthood had become immoral and sinful, God called Samuel. Let me say this today as plain as I can. The church leaders have sinned. The Levites have failed. And there's nothing to me today that is... It hits me different than anything else when I hear of a preacher that has gone back on God. Especially to hear of a Pentecostal or a Holiness preacher. Especially to hear of one that I've known and been with them in service and knew their life and knew the joy of the victory, and then hear that they've gone back on God. That just sort of cuts you to pieces. If it does that to you and me, what does it do to the Lord? God called Samuel when the priesthood had failed and said, Samuel, I'll make of you a priest. I'll make of you a prophet. I'll make of you a judge. And Samuel led the people of Israel back to God. God called him when he was just a boy. In fact, the first time God called him, Samuel didn't even know it was God calling.
Amen.
Again, let me use a personal illustration. When I was in the card class, Sister Pope, my teacher, we were having church at that time in a store building on 28th Street and Chestnut Avenue. On the third floor. My Sunday school teacher told me when I was in the card class, you're my little preacher. That didn't stay with me, because when I got away from God, I wasn't thinking anything about preaching.
Mm-hmm.
At all. When my wife and I got saved, came back to God, sometime later when God called, I was reminded of what Sister Pope, way back yonder, had said. Maybe she saw something that I had no idea. I thought if God was looking for preachers, he wouldn't call me.
Amen.
To find somebody else.
Amen.
Sure. God called Samuel when he was a boy. Didn't even know the voice of God. I believe God can call young people.
Yes.
Speak to their hearts.
Yes, sir.
And do work in their lives. God kept on calling and calling and calling. When you come to the New Testament with Peter, James, and John, then Saul, and I thought as I closed this morning, God hasn't stopped. I looked across this congregation, and some are here that have been called by God out of sin, called into service, called to be Sunday school teachers, called to be leaders of the Sunday school and the church board and in the choir and so many things God's called you out of sin, into salvation, into service. Many here this morning, and I thank God for you. Yesterday morning here in the sanctuary, I try to run over some things in my mind. God's been so good. Next time I come back, maybe something else. God's been so good. You can try to remember everything God's done, but listen closely. He's done a whole lot more than we can remember.
Amen.
He's a good God. He's a good God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to fool for something this morning. I want you to listen closely. I mentioned God calling Adam, God calling Noah, God calling Abraham, God calling Moses, God calling Gideon, God calling David, God calling the disciples, God calling Saul, the Apostle Paul, God calling you. I've read the 22nd chapter of Revelation. I want you to remember what I say now. Come on to the piano, honey. What I read a while ago from the 22nd chapter of Revelation is the last call.
Yes.
Last call in the Bible. The last call. The last call. When that call is given, there'll be no more. And so I'm talking to everyone softly, briefly. That last call for you could be today. We have no promise that God's going to call. My wife and I got saved in February 1954. Went to Mountain Home, Idaho, and went to church most every Sunday morning. Sat on this side of the church. And I can tell you, I can't remember exactly how it went, but I can tell you, God called me and called me and called me, inviting me. How many Sundays my wife and I left that church knowing that we were lost, knowing that we were headed for eternity unprepared, but we were young, but we had all the time in the world. And the next Sunday the preacher would preach and God would call again. That night in the revival when God called me, I felt as if this is the last call. I felt like, if I don't do something right now, He'll never call me again. My wife and I joined hands and walked down the aisle together and got saved. February 1955. Together we knelt in the altar and got saved. I had no promise that God would call again, nor do you nor me today. God's calling. God's calling. The tragedy is so many have heard the call and rejected it. I've heard the call of God calling them to repentance, calling them out of darkness, calling them out of sin. They had said, just like I did, not today. Maybe next week. Maybe the revival. Some other time, God, not today. Not today. I didn't tell anybody that, but that's what I was saying in my heart. Not today. God's calling this morning. God's calling. I'm glad that He didn't call me to condemn me. He didn't call me to put me down. He didn't call me to shame me. He called me so He could forgive me. He called me because He loved me. He called me because He loved me. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why God sent Noah. Warn the people. I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to be lost. Warn the people. But only eight came. The tragedy is He's called and called and called. But so many have rejected the call. Today, open your heart to God. Whoever I'm preaching to today, whoever. You might be a member of this church and attend every service. But you and God know the truth. Will you stand together with me? Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank